Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, well, I could go home right now and know that I have celebrated being the church. So how many of you know you didn't come to church today? You are the church. So we did church today. And going to do it all the time. There's a passage, a verse that I want to read before I get some people up here. Because I think there's still one left. One what, Pastor? It says, they sang, they praised, they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For God is good, for his loving kindness is upon us forever." Is that true? His loving kindness is upon us forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundations of the house was built by God. So what do you think? There's one thing. I believe there's one more left. And what is that? A great shout. So stand up. If you've praised him, you've thanked him, you've worshiped him, you've lifted your hands, now give him the shout, because he has done this thing. Yes, Lord! Yes, God! Oh, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy! Yes, Lord! Woo! All right. If you never have shouted in church, that was your first time to ever do it. Welcome home. Welcome home. Well, before we get into the message today, I want to honor some wonderful guests that we have the opportunity to be with today, and those are missionaries. I'd like for all of our missionaries to come up. You're visiting with us today, but I want you to stand to your feet and come up this way. Don't be bashful. Come on up. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It is such an honor to have you guys. Come on this way so everybody can get a good look at you. You're fine. Give us your name and where you're headed.
My name is Richard, and I'm headed to Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Great.
Hey, I'm Peter. It's my wife, Mary, and we are headed to South Asia.
South Asia.
My name's Emily, and I'm headed to the Dominican Republic.
I'm Holly, and I'm headed to Florence, Italy. And my daughter has decided she's going to do a YWAM DTS in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, bring her up. We want to pray for her, too. Come on up. Come on up.
She's good.
She said she was good.
She's a little shy, sorry.
Well, you know, the Lord will reach and touch you right where you are. Do you know? Okay. That is great. It's awesome. Get the elders to come down real quick. I'd like to pray. Do you guys mind if we just pray over you? And I know we're not the sending church, but we want to partner with the church that sent you. You know, because it is a kingdom work. It's not just a church. It's a kingdom work. And we want to be able to do that. So all the elders, come on down. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to have some of your favorite people, the ones that said yes to you, to go to lands that's not their own, but it's yours. And Lord, you spoke to their heart to go, and they answered with a resounding yes. I don't know, Lord, maybe it took a while for them to say yes. I don't know, but they're here today. Saying yes, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we partner with the church that sent them, and we send them forth in your name. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let them overflow with your presence. And, Lord, the light that you have put inside them shine so brightly that when they just show up and step off the plane, that the atmosphere will be impacted. Because you are there inside them making a difference. So, Father, protect them from all the schemes of the enemy. And, Lord, may they run with favor. Let them run, Lord, in a way that shows passion for Jesus. Unhindered, may they speak with the power of your word. May they live out and demonstrate who Jesus Christ is. May they manifest the Lord Jesus in everything they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who's one? Costa Rica.
Speak Spanish down the altar.
I'm learning once I get there.
He's learning.
This is one that came to me was total of the other Costa Kenny Fortaleza.
Amen. Well, before you go, I'm going to give you a little bit of a Hebrew in from the South. I don't speak Hebrew. I just speak a little bit of Southern Hebrew. Okay, and it's this: Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless you, and we send you forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Oh, it's good to be together, isn't it? Good to be together in this house celebrating Jesus. And I tell you, the praise team, if y'all get any better, I don't know what we're going to do. It's almost like heaven here already. I'm telling you, it's just the awesome, the anointing. Y'all just letting the anointing flow, and we're just so pleased. He didn't want to leave. Or he didn't want to go. I was in the restroom earlier today. It was probably about 10 minutes before the service started, and there's a little guy in there. I think, Bobby McCallum, where are you? Is he with you? Yeah, it's him. Yeah. What's his name? No, you're not in trouble. He's not in trouble. What's his name? Good to have you today. It really was. But anyway, I was washing my hands, and he came in, and he looked at me, and he said, "You like coming to this church?" I just wiped my hands off and said, "Why, yes, I do. I'm coming next week, too." I just thought it was so precious. It really was precious. I said, "Man, do you like coming to this church?" He normally goes down there, so he didn't know. Listen, I'm just coming to this church just like everybody else, brother. We all family. Amen. But I just thought it was so beautiful. I really did. It was just so beautiful. I could have said, "No, I have to come." But that would not have been the truth. But it was just a real special treat for me. I just really felt like God was sort of messing around with me this morning, one of his kids, and just playing around some. I want to share just briefly, and then we have something else special for you today. But we've been talking about being an overcomer, living the life of an overcomer, not just living the life of a Christian who doesn't overcome. You know, because we can be Christians and not overcome the things that the enemy's pushing forward to us. There's three things I want you to remember, that in this warfare that we have, there's three elements that are very important with God. One is perception, how you see things. And we need to see them the way God sees them. Amen. We can see them the way the enemy wants to show it, and we can get all messed up. We can actually see them the way we think it needs to be and still get messed up. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 11, it says, "For it's written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man." What is it? All that God has prepared for those who love him. He said, "I have not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has it been in the heart of man." All the things that God has prepared for us who love him. So there's a lot of things we haven't seen yet. A lot of things we haven't heard yet. A lot of things that haven't been in our heart yet. But God, and it goes on, the next verse says this: "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." So God reveals those things through the Spirit of God. "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Even the depths of God, the Spirit searches. And he only searches it so he can reveal it. So perception is huge. So when you get in the war, when you get in this battle with this opposition, this pushback from Satan, when you get into that, understand this. There's something he wants to show you. You haven't seen it yet. You might not have heard it. And you probably had never had it in your heart. But he wants to show you something, and he wants to reveal that to you by the Spirit of God in the middle of it. Why? He wants you to perceive, even in the midst of this chaos, even in the midst of this trial, even in the midst of this battle, he wants you to perceive, see things the way he sees things. You know, instead of saying, the giant, well, he's too big to hit. How does God see it? He's too big to miss. Second is mindset. Perception is one. Second is mindset. That's what you think. And if we're not thinking the same things that God is wanting us to think from his scripture, then we're not really connected with the fullness of who he is. So perception, learn to see things the way he sees it. And learn to think about things the way he tells us to think about it right here in the scripture. Because we run into all kind of different things that we scratch our head and say, "Well, I'm wondering. Well, yeah, wonder, but just don't wonder long. Just get in line with him. We sing about he's the overcomer. Yes, he is. And he's calling you and I overcomers. Not to be overtaken or overwhelmed by anything. And the third one. So the first one is what? Perception. What's the second one?
Mindset.
What's the third one? Hadn't told you yet, right? The third one is this one. Very important. Language. Language. It's what do you say? How do you speak? How do you talk? Are you saying the same things that God is saying? Are you saying the things that the enemy's saying? Are you saying the things that the world is saying? So our language is very important. If we want to win battles that he's already won, if we want to step into that victory that he's already given us, but we've got to be able to line up with him to be able to get it, to be able to actually walk in it. We already have it, but we need to walk in it. We've got to have our perception. We've got to see things the way he sees things. We've got to have our mindset on things that he tells us to have our mindset on. Then our language has to be in line with what he's saying. You know, one of the things I used to, and I learned this from the South, when I grew up in the South, and I'm still in the South, probably never going to leave the South till I go home, but I'm sure there's a southern part of heaven that he's got picked out just for me so everybody can understand me. I'm sort of like Bobby Connor. If I was to go on a mission trip like you guys, and if I was to ever have to go to England, I'd need an interpreter. They wouldn't know what I was saying. We've got some people from South Africa, and they say, "What? What did you say? What did you say?" I remember seeing Ribbon one time, and the little Jeannie, she said, "I beg your pardon? And I said, ribbon again. And she said, I beg your pardon? I'm like, well, I don't know how many more times I'm going to be able to say this. I said, ribbon, ribbon. And she said, ribbon. I said, yes. Yes, we connected. No, they're just beautiful people, but language matters. Not about accents, it's about what are we saying. When we get in the middle of the battle, do we say, oh me, I'm never going to get through this. I'm never going to make it. I don't know how this is going to work out. You know, but see, that language is not what God wants to start saying. God, if we're facing something, God looks at us and says, okay, I created this. I let this happen just for you. Just for me? Yeah, he wants me to grow up. I'm going to show you what I can do. See, the enemy wants to overwhelm you with his stuff and his battle. God wants to overwhelm you with who he is. One way or the other, we're going to be overwhelmed. We get to choose who overwhelms us. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to hear a testimony. John, Pastor John, if you can come up and help me. I want you to hear something from some people. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when somebody gives a testimony about how Jesus touched their life and how Jesus healed them or delivered them or whatever, the Bible says that's the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? People read that but don't know what that means. See, prophecy is forthtelling. So, it's a futuristic thing. So, if you testify of Jesus, there's a atmosphere of him being able to do it again in our midst. So, when you hear a testimony about Jesus doing something, what he's saying, that the atmosphere is right for me to do it for you right now. So when you hear this testimony, I want you to remember that. I looked, turned around, he was gone. You guys come on up. This is Dana and Andrea. And they have got a wonderful testimony to speak to you about. And I want you to hear them. Okay.
It's all games, right? Well, I'll start out with just telling you guys where we were at in our life before our accident. We both just we were average couple at home with two kids. One was already out of the house. We had a grandchild. She was 21 months old. We both worked full-time. We served in our church. We were both on the worship team. As a matter of fact, the day that our accident happened, we actually had a couple of hours unexpected of free time where our son was gone, and we decided that we were just going to get out of town for a couple hours because we had to be back at church that evening to rehearse. We were going to do the music at the Apple Festival the next morning. So we head out of town. We don't make it, a mile? Not even outside the city limits. And someone pulled out in front of us. We were on a motorcycle, and the gentleman turned left out of his driveway. We crossed, you changed lanes two different times to try and avoid him, but he was looking the other direction. He never even saw we were there until we impacted. When we hit, it was my husband, Dana, and he stayed on the motorcycle. And him and the motorcycle went under the car, and it trapped his leg below the knee and crushed his leg as well as his right hip and pelvis. It actually crushed his leg below the knee to the extent that it crushed it below the knee to the point that it ruptured in the side of his thigh. For me, it threw me off the back of the motorcycle and threw me 62 feet over two lanes of traffic, and I landed on a bank with my leg. My foot was basically severed. It was just barely hanging on. The bottom 6 inches of my femur and into my knee was just totally twisted and splintered and had ripped my leg open. when the ambulance got there, they told me that they found me laying on the bank with my leg wrapped completely around my side and my foot down under my thighs. Fortunately, he lost consciousness while he was under the car, which was God's grace for him. So he didn't remember any of that. We were maybe a mile up the road from crane service that just within a couple of minutes had a piece of equipment up there to lift the car off of him, and they pulled him out, placed him on the bank beside me. We were also blessed that we were in their hometown. So like the EMTs that showed up had went to school with our siblings, or we had known them. So we were being woke up and spoke to by people that knew us by name, which was very powerful. Because of the Apple Festival going on, the Mama helicopters, there was only one available. They do have one that will hold two people, but it was out on a call. So they actually had to ask him if he would be willing to ride in an ambulance so that they could air flight me. And, of course, he said yes. His heart rate was so high they couldn't give him any pain medication. They drove him all the way to Mission. And thought they were going to lose him just because they couldn't get his pain under control and his blood pressure was, you said, bottoming out. For me, they airlifted me, but my leg was so wrapped. I've never had this problem before. I'm so short, but I would not fit in the helicopter until they straightened my leg out, which was just, it was odd to me. I couldn't fathom that. But that happened on September the 1st. Believe it or not, it'll be 10 years this coming Thursday. It will be the 10th anniversary, September the 1st of 2012. And so when we got to Mission Hospital, they scheduled us both surgery Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the entire month of September. And so we were in the hospital for the entire month of September. Then we went to the rehab facility for about a month. And we've both been in and out of the hospital multiple times since, with the most recent, just a year ago, January, that he wound up with infection where they had put hardware in, and he was in the hospital for a week and a half with three more additional surgeries. I would say we've hit, roughly 30 surgeries each since this happened. But God was there through it all. You know, he was in the wreck with us. He was in our heart, so he was there from the very first moment. And when it very first happened, like when we both knew we were going to impact, it was like this peace just surrounded us. And he was just there through the whole thing. We realized very quickly that that without him, we couldn't make it. It was both of us. Like, I couldn't pick up his slack. He couldn't pick up my slack. So when you literally have your feet knocked out from under you, you come to this point of, do you believe him or do you not? Is he God or is he not? Will he do what he says he'll do? Is he who he says he is? And he proved it over and over again. We also learned, just like Pastor was talking about this morning, I believe it's in Romans where it talks about faith is a matter of what comes out of our mouth as well as what's in our hearts. And so we learned that God would put those desires and those prayers in our hearts to stand boldly, that we would overcome. And then we realized that we couldn't follow it up with if he chooses to. We had to start speaking when it happens. And we had to make the words that come out of our mouth align with what he put in our heart to give him the power and the authority to do that.
I'm usually fine on stage if I got a guitar or something in my hand. Also, our family basically abandoned us when this happened. They didn't know how to handle it. So, well, I'm like, well, you didn't lose the leg. Why are you sweating? So we had no place to go because the house we lived in at the time was a two-story brick with a lot of steps up the front and a lot of steps up the back up onto a deck. So we never once went back in the house we lived in. Had no place to go. So someone in our family, inner circle, close family, said, well, you guys can come stay with us until you had a huge house, you know, downstairs set up, like, so we'd be fine. We were there 2 weeks, and it was right at Thanksgiving. It was, like, a couple days before Thanksgiving. And they were like, I can't handle it. Y'all got to get out.
And we had nowhere to go. We, like I said, the house we rented, our landlord wouldn't allow us anyone to build like a temporary ramp going in any door. Other people went into our house with the storage pod in the yard and packed it up for us, like to the roof. We're still digging stuff out of those boxes that are in storage.
Like tools for the dishes.
Yeah. But we were just thankful that for the people that were there. So when we had to leave, it was amazing because God already had provision. Like a friend that we had known for a long time had recently moved out of an apartment. He still had 2 months on his lease. And he's like, I would rather you guys live there than for it to sit there empty and me paying for it. We moved 9 times in the first 8 years after our accident. We lost our house. We lost all of our insurance, all of our income. We went through short-term disability, long-term disability, and lost it all.
Well, we only had your disability for the first 4 years.
And then I was approved for Social Security disability, but we had to fight for 4 years to get his. But it was amazing because in every place that we lived, God revealed himself quickly that there was purpose for us and purpose for a neighbor. It was really just amazing. He grew our faith so much during that circumstance. And we learned just to trust him at his word. Like all those promises in the Bible, they apply to you as well as me. The only criteria you need is to be a child of God. And he already tells us the answer to his promises are yes and amen. And we need to stand firm on that. There was a lot of worship songs during the time, since we both do worship, that really carried especially me through. That song, Praise You in the Storm, had just came out. That was a big one for me. Oceans, where it talked about, you know, taking you out on the water where feet may fail. You know, that was pretty relevant to me. And he still does through songs. But it really is just a matter of you have to, his word is true. It's definitive. There is no maybe. There is no gray area. It is true, and it is for you. It is for me. And he promises that. You know, I think about my kids. We have 2 children, a son and a daughter. And if they're hurting, it doesn't matter if it's physical pain, emotional pain, if it's severe pain, if it's small pain. If they're hurting, they're hurting. If they're suffering, they're suffering. If they're in pain, it's pain. There is no degree for God that matters. Like, because you think one person has more pain than you, God's heart breaks because you have pain. That's it. He wants you to come to him. You know, I've thought this was funny. Joyce Myers says, you know, when you talk about a testimony, you go through a test and then you moan about it a little bit and then it becomes a testimony. And I love that. But I totally love that. But this week when I was thinking about that, God revealed to me the key is in the moaning. Are you moaning because it's just a pity party? Or are you moaning and laying all those hurts at the feet of Jesus? Because that's where the power is. He showed us that through the accident too. When the first several weeks when I was out of it, I don't remember the first couple of weeks, but I was awake. I would talk to people and answer questions. But every person that came in my room, it was the Holy Spirit in me. It was not me because it was not my character prior to that. Every person that walked in my room, I would not let them leave until they prayed for me. And it's because the Holy Spirit knew that's where the power was. And I'm just telling you, if God leads you to do something for someone, to be there for someone, be there. It's going to bless you just as much, if not more, as it will them. And that's God's plan. He wants to work through each of us, not just for each of us, but through each of us to achieve his plan. And I think that's pretty awesome to think that the God of the universe actually chooses to use me to just show someone else the same love that I've been shown. And it's just powerful. What else do you have to say?
We also realized that from the beginning, the Lord, because we totally surrendered it to him, we really didn't have a choice. To allow him to use us everywhere we moved was for a specific reason. And I think it was 2015, we had lost our house that we'd been able to buy a couple years after the accident because we were still trying to get my disability. He moved us to Arden to a barely 600 square foot place that really wasn't even rentable. It didn't have any heat. Our AC was not handicap accessible, and we're both trying to figure it out, both in wheelchairs. It's like demolition derby. I mean, like, it's like, are you in the kitchen? Well, when you get done, I'd like to come in there because it's 700 square foot. I mean, literally, it was. But And we were like, what is up with this? I mean, it was in a rough neighborhood. But soon realized, long story short, met a guy that had a shop next door. I talked to him a couple times. He knew we went to church. The next thing I know, he's over to us. His 16-year-old daughter just got diagnosed with cancer. And what, less than 6 months later, they're praying and going to church. So he used this in every little place he moved us. It wasn't for the where it was at to live. It was because there was somebody there. And then he moved us on. And then, you know, we were there about a year. But every spot we've been until we finally settled down here and I'm not moving again. I still hadn't unpacked after 3 years because I'm still waiting. Are we going to move again? So people think God can't use you when you're in the midst of tragedy. And we also learned that if you need help, help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When you don't know what to do, serve somebody. And he'll show up, I promise.
You're the talker.
I'm sorry, guys. I guess that's pretty much the whole thing. Just take God at his word. I promise, like, he's not like you or I where he's going to change his mind. It's definitive. In the very beginning, the only thing that I can remember at the moment of the accident was this voice, and I know it was the Lord. It was inside my ear. It was not on the outside. And I had just heard someone had told me that, when God says something twice in the Bible, it's definitive, that no one can change it. And the only thing that I heard on the accident was I was called by name, and he said, you're going to be fine. Andrea, you're going to be fine. And he just repeated it twice, and it's like I just rested in that peace the whole rest of the time. His peace just surrounded us. That peace that surpasses understanding, it is a legit thing because it is what carried us through the whole thing. It still carries us. Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate you listening. And I will share one other thing. You know, Scripture tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Well, he did all the work. It's his blood. He took care of that. We just have to share it with our mouth. You know, like my husband told you, I'm great at talking. Being a witness is usually one of the harder things. You know, it's hard to bring God up in conversation sometimes. Now God's made it so easy because people come up and out of curiosity, they want to know what happened, and they don't know the answer is God. So I'm just telling you, whatever he's carried you through, when somebody asks, just let your answer be God, and it becomes very easy, and you will begin to overcome more and more than what you even do, just because he told us that's the key to it. Share your testimony. Anybody that asks a question that's willing to listen, give them God.
Y'all were fantastic and pretty good too. You know, you can't leave yet. You can't leave yet. I might do some juggling or something here. Who knows? What am I doing with two microphones and wearing one? Okay. All right. Now I'm gonna ask you a question. You'd mentioned before that this has caused you to have a lot of open doors to share your testimony, mm-hmm. because a lot of people come up and ask you.
Yes, they do.
Okay, so.
They like even asked, did we meet because we're amputees? I didn't think that was a criteria to get married.
Yeah, it's a club.
Yeah. It's a club.
It's a club.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you get a lot of that when you're out together?
We do. We get a lot of that. And we also get a lot, I love children because they see the difference and they're not afraid to ask. And even that, you can share Jesus with them because they think your leg is like some robot leg. So they get real excited, or they'll call his a Terminator leg, you know. And I just make a point to share with them how, you know, they'll ask, how it happened or what happened. And I just share with them that, you know, we had a big boo-boo that the doctors couldn't fix until God showed them how to build these legs so that we could stand victorious. So it's, you can find little ways to share God in everything they ask you.
Amen, amen. Now you play bass. What else?
Guitar, drums, and keys.
Boy, talk.
What's up? You go ahead.
You go ahead. Tell us what you play. They're going to be amazed at this.
Around.
Here.
I'll talk for you. How's that? Today's our 23rd anniversary, so I have earned being able to talk for him.
That I didn't know. I did not know. So he plays bass guitar, regular guitar, mm-hmm. piano, and drums.
And I will tell you, even with the drums, even in the hospital, that was the biggest thing he was worried about because, you know, he's right-handed. When you play drums, you got to use both feet. And you no longer have an ankle with a prosthesis. But God revealed to us, even in the hospital, I was like, wait a minute. God, this didn't surprise him that this day was coming. He created us to be victorious in him. We just have to let him lead us the way to victory. So we prayed about it. We were like, Lord, if it's your will for him to keep playing drums, we need you to switch the lead to his left foot. And he did. Yeah. So, yeah, he can still play drums. It's amazing.
1 year after that, we were on stage at Main Street doing worship a year
ago. Yeah,
later.
We were. Yeah. We sure were. I forgot about that. With the same group we were supposed to do it with the year before.
Mm-hmm. Just that way.
That's pretty awesome. It really is. You know, one of the things that that you said that really means a lot to me is that you were worshiping. You never stopped worshiping the whole time, even just when the accident was about to happen. You're laid down on the motorcycle or whatever, mm-hmm. but you felt the peace of God. And then the worship of God, worship creates an atmosphere mm-hmm. that the enemy does not know what to do with.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he can't do anything with it at all. But he wants to create an atmosphere with doubt and everything mm-hmm. else that he wants to do. He wants us to fight the battle his way because that's what he knows. He can't do anything with the battle that's full of worship. Mm-hmm. Worship and thanksgiving and rejoicing always and getting into that, we mess up his playground. Amen. And we enter into worship, and even though things change, it changed in their lives, their worship never changed, mm-hmm. other than increased. Mm-hmm. And we have to get that place inside us that we're going to worship him and be thankful in all things, in everything give thanks, in how many things? In everything give thanks in all things, and rejoice always. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our worship. And once we capture the essence of that, and that becomes who we are, then it doesn't matter what we go through, we're in control of the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. With God. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, that because we don't have to do things according to what the enemy wants done. So we just lean into God. You know, one more thing, and I'm gonna close, but this thing about, you said that God was with you the whole time and you felt his presence.
Yes.
That's another thing about worship. He said, he's searching for true worshipers, which means there's false worshipers, which means there's people that's worshiping, but they're not worshiping God.
Right.
You know, but see, this thing about the true worshipers is actually embracing and engaging him. He is a spirit. He is truth. So spirit and truth is actually engaging his presence, embracing his presence. And the passage in Corinthians, it talks about Who can separate us from the love of God? Mm-hmm. Y'all know that, Pat? Yeah. Who? Nothing. And what can separate us? Can distress? Can motorcycle accidents? Mm-hmm. Can trials and all of the and perils and swords and which means a wartime? Can any of this separate us from the love of God? Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
No.
Now listen to this. He talks about all the hard things. And he says, nothing can separate you from his love. You know why that is? Because we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. She said that. In Christ. Mm-hmm. So if you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Correct? Okay, listen to this. If you are in Christ, no situation can separate you from the power of Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes and amen.
If you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the power of Christ. Not from the love of Christ and not from the power of Christ. Because the situation is in Christ with you. If the situation is touching your life, it's touching the life of Christ in you. So we've got to keep focused on he loves me forever, and I have his power in me forever to be able to do what? Whatever he wants me to do. And y'all have proved that you can be an overcomer even when things get real tough and change your life drastically. Income and houses and everything. You just
everything.
Lost everything.
Down to even my shoes.
Down
you know, that's
shoes.
Hard for women.
Yeah, a year after, she was like, where's my other boot at? I was like, probably with your foot.
She's like, I'm missing a boot.
I'm missing a boot. Yeah. That's down on what
that
highway was.
No good.
That was no good. Well, see, even if that you see joy, they're not oh me, they're not oh my, they're not. Why did it? They're just not that way. They're just a tremendous example of God being manifested through people who go through difficult things. And they said, but she told me before, they have a lot more opportunities to witness now than they ever did because a lot of people are coming to them and saying, I don't understand y'all couple and things because people are inquisitive about it. But you know, God opens doors. And God wants us to be able to have the language with our heart, have the language to be able to testify of him. And the Bible talks about what we should testify of him over and over again, that we should testify of him in the multitude of witnesses. Multitude of witnesses, not just one or here. No, the multitude. We ought to share who God is for us and what he's done for us all the time. All the time. Y'all have done a great job sharing your life. And I know the story is much, much longer than that, but you guys have just done great. And we love having you here. And Charlie, we have to get him
pumped. Is there a song in your heart that you would share with us that you feel that we can sing again?
There's a song that he's been putting on my heart, but it's a newer song. I know Thelma knows it. Honey in the Rock. Yeah. That's my new song because that's what he's done for us through the whole thing. The lyrics talk about there's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, everywhere I go.
I don't
have to worry because he's got everything I need. That's not how it goes, the exact words. But.
She don't want to sing. Honey in the Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, you want me to sing it?
Yeah.
I'll just sing, trying to think.
Maybe they come back next week.
Yeah, how about we do that? Well, I will be here. He wouldn't be here, but I'll be happy to sing it next week if you want me to.
Praise God.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, Lord, we thank you for this couple. We thank you, God, that you are in the midst of our message today, our presence today, and Lord, we just thank you for the testimony that they have. Lord, I am uplifted. We've been singing about that, but Lord, you have uplifted me by hearing what you're doing in these lives and them sharing their hearts with us today. And we thank you for them. We ask your blessings to be upon them, which it already is. But Lord, we just ask you to overwhelm them with who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Hallelujah. Okay. Y'all can have a seat right there. It'd be fine. Who knows? You might start dancing in a little bit.
He's dying for a comedy show.
Comedy show. No, not really. Not really. Okay, let's everyone stand up. We're going to leave here and go where? Family Life Center and eat spaghetti and cake and all that other stuff. All of our visitors, all of our missionaries, come down. It's on me. It's on me. And who else? Somebody said, I want to be a missionary. I want to. No. It's on me. Come on. We'd love to have you. All the visitors would love to have you. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's a fundraiser for the youth. They're going somewhere. Where are they going? Where are they going? They're going on a trip. A fall retreat. All right. So come down and eat with us. And somewhere along the line, we're going to pie Gina. Pie the pastor. So we're going to be doing some of that as well. But hadn't it been great today to hear what God is doing in people's lives? Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, Father, thank you again for this time that we've committed to you and we've gathered together in your name. And you fulfilled your promise because you said, if there's just two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. And Lord, I have felt you in the midst, in the middle of what we're doing today. So we honor your presence. And Lord, we thank you for the food. We just ask you to bless us as we go in our fellowship with you and our fellowship with one another. And Lord, may our lives and may our light get brighter and stronger to glorify who you are and to spread the word to the kingdom. And Lord, may your kingdom be advanced because we are being used by you to talk about you and to share you with everybody that we see. Thank you for the food. In Jesus' name, amen. Straight down the hill. Come on, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.